Hello. We have a special day today. We have Lynn and I's friends with us, and Elaine is a special lady. We've known them about her and her husband about 7 or 8 years, and Dave was my best mate. He's no longer with us, but God uses Elaine mightily. Please listen to her. Please talk to her after the service. You'll never get away. But please talk to her, and she'll share with you what God has done in her life. I can honestly say that she's not a churchgoer. She's one of the people in the book of Acts, which it says, we can see you've been with Jesus. And I can tell you, we can see she's been with Jesus, and you'll see that later on. So, Elaine, come on, girl. It's all yours.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad you did that. I'm not very technical.
Take these out.
Thank you.
She needs a lot of work.
Okay. I'd like to just thank you for allowing me to come and share with you. And it is an amazing testimony, but I want to say, it's not about me, it's about him. It's about his goodness, his mercy, his grace, his faithfulness, what he's done. So as Tony said, we'll start off, I need to go back to January 2021, which is when this really all started. I lost my husband. He passed after a failed operation during lockdown and went to be with Jesus. I had a lot going on. There was an inquest into his death. I sold my marital home because I couldn't stand to be there without Dave. We'd been together for 40 years, so it was like I'd lost my arms and legs. Those of you that have lost a spouse will understand where I'm coming from. 2 months after that, we lost his son from his first marriage, sudden death. I lost a couple of aunties in lockdown, so it was a real time of trauma and grief. Just after we lost his son from his first marriage, my second little granddaughter was born, which was an absolute breath of fresh air, and I thank God for her. I moved in with my mum to live with my mum after David passed. My mum was 87 at the time, and she was needing a bit of help. So I actually moved in with her, and she was in and out of hospital a lot because she'd had a heart bypass many years before. She had COPD. She had chest infections. She had diverticulitis. So she needed a bit of looking after, and she'd had pneumonia a few times. We both actually caught COVID. A few months afterwards, and the scripture from Romans kept coming to me, all things work together for good, for those who love God and according to his purposes. Well, it didn't look like it, and it didn't feel like it, but God's word says it, so we have to believe it. We can't just take the portions of God's word that we like and just say, well, I'm not having that bit because I don't particularly like that one. So, and God does work things. And sometimes when we're in the midst of those situations, we wonder how we're going to come through that. But God does turn it around and use it for good. One of the scriptures that the Lord gave me at that time was from Isaiah 40:31, which says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I kept getting this scripture. And the last time that the Lord gave it to me, I used to go to a little place when my husband Dave was in hospital when he was sick. I used to go just across the road to some fields, and there was a bench. I don't think it was a bench. I think it was a horse jump, but I used to sit on it and listen to my phone. I'd put my worship music on, or I'd talk to the Lord, or I'd just sit there and cry. And I don't know about you. We know we've got the Holy Spirit in us, but there are some places I really feel the presence of God more strongly, and that was one of those places for me. And as I sat there this day, it was a beautiful sunny day, and I sat there this day and I looked up, and there was like a huge bird circling. It wasn't an eagle, but it reminded me again of that scripture. So I went home and I was like, okay, Lord, what are you saying to me? I'm not the fastest person always to understand what God's saying, but I knew he was trying to tell me something. I did a bit of research, and eagles, when they get older, their wings become very heavy with oil and grit and dirt, and they can't fly as well as they could when they were younger. And so they go through what is called the molting process. Now, this molting process is really rigorous. They take themselves off to a secluded valley, and they pull out all their feathers off their wings, and they scrape their talons on the rocks until they come out detached from the claws altogether, and they smash their beaks to bits on the rock. It's very rigorous. A lot of them don't survive. Many of them die during this process. But those who survive soar to greater heights than they've ever been to before. Greater heights than when they were in their youth. And what I gathered from this, the Lord was saying to me, I know you've been in the valley of the shadow of death, but I am going to lift you up on wings like eagles. We love being on the mountain, don't we? We all love it when life's great and we've got no concerns and no worries. But did you know that it's in that valley where God does his best work? When we're in that storm, when we're in that place where none of us want to be, that's where he refines us and shapes us and transforms us and moulds us if we let him. Shortly after that, we sold my mum's house. And just 2 years after my husband passed, my mum had fractured her shoulder in three or four places, got pneumonia, and she passed to be with the Lord as well. So here I was again, back in the valley of death. And the Lord gave me this scripture from Habakkuk. I'm so sorry, I forgot to bring that. Sorry, this is Habakkuk 3, verse 17 to 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Saviour. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of the deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. Again, I was like, okay, Lord, what you're saying. When we think of a hind, a mountain goat, they're swift, they're sure-footed, they're elegant, they're graceful, they're boundless. They can ascend cliff faces that you and I would look at and think are both impassable and impossible. But the Lord, I felt the Lord was saying to me, you are going to run with hind's feet. I want you to live above your circumstances. I want you to live above the place that you're in and get hind's feet, and that he would give me the strength to be able to attain these new heights. That day was a day, it was a Wednesday. I know it was a Wednesday because my little granddaughter at this time is about a year and a half old, and I used to take her to a play place on a Wednesday morning where a friend of mine called Mariana, another Christian friend of mine, did a bit of children's ministry, and we always used to have a 10-minute God spot, we used to call it, together, in a bit of a catch-up. So I was telling her, I was so excited about this scripture that the Lord had given me and telling her what I thought it meant. She grinned at me for the whole time like a Cheshire cat. And at the end of it, I said, what is wrong with you? You've not stopped smiling. I knew that her dad had passed some years before, and she said, I know you don't know this. It's 5 years since my dad passed. And she said, I was sitting in my prayer chair this morning with his order of service in my hand, and the verses on it were Habakkuk 3, 17 to 19. So that scripture was for me, but it was for her as well. Trust me, I'm going somewhere with this, bear with me. She then told me about a book called Hind's Feet. She said, have you heard of a book called Hind's Feet by Hannah Hernard? I hadn't, but she got me that book and I read it, and I can honestly say it changed my life. It is actually an allegory of the Song of Solomon. And it tells very briefly, it's about a lady, a young woman called Much Afraid. She lives in a valley called the Valley of Humiliation, in a village called Much Trembling. And the people that are always coming against her are called gloomy, spiteful, fear, pride, bitterness. You get the picture. All she wants to do is work for the shepherd. She just wants to work for the good shepherd. She's got lame feet, so she can't walk very well. She's got a crooked mouth. She's not very pretty. She just wants to work for the good shepherd. And the good shepherd comes to her in the forest and says, I would like to take you on a journey to give you hind's feet. Will you come with me? Well, she wants nothing else, so she says, yes, I'll come with you. And he said, but it's not going to be easy. People are going to come against you. People are going to try and make you doubt. People are going to try and make you fear. People are going to try and make you go the other way. I'm promising to take you up and take you to the heights. And some of the paths I'm going to take you on are going to take you into the valley. But you've got to trust me and believe me and follow me and come with me. Eventually, she does reach the kingdom of love, it's called in the book, which is the kingdom of heaven. And as she's there, she steps into a pool on the top of the mountain and her deformed feet straighten out. She splashes water on her face and a crooked mouth straightens out. She's got a beautiful smile. And the good shepherd Jesus comes to her and he says, no longer will you be known as much afraid. You will be known as grace and glory. And she's been given a new name. And I just think, what a wonderful explanation of how God feels about each one of us, and that he doesn't want us to stay in that valley. He wants to give us all hind's feet. 6 months after that, I thinking to myself, I've arrived. The Lord's given me hind's feet after all this tragedy and death and grief. I've arrived. 6 months later, I'm feeling unwell. Not really, really unwell, just a bit unwell. Thought I'd got COVID. I'd had it 2 or 3 times. I did a COVID test. It was negative. My next door neighbour said to me, you're yellow. You need to go to the doctor. Emergency blood tests and scans showed that I was diagnosed with terminal pancreatic cancer. No cancer's good. We all know that. But pancreatic cancer, not many people survive. It's a death sentence. 2 weeks later, I was in hospital to have the tumour removed. And the whole time that was in there, I kept saying, reciting every time I had to go for a procedure or a scan or anything else, Psalm 23 over and over again, the Lord's Prayer over and over again. I should have been in for 2 weeks. I was in for 9. I was in intensive care for 5. I had a collapsed lung. I had blood clots. I had infections. I had sepsis. Sepsis alone is a killer. And yet, I was still there. During the end, there was a 10-day period where I should have had another operation to remove a bowel blockage. I was just on the bed constantly for 10 days, couldn't move, so ill. And at that point, one of the nights, I actually cried out to God and said, I can't do this anymore, Lord. You said that you would not give us more than we can bear. Well, I think I've reached that point. And can you just take me home? Tony and Lynn, I'm sure you all know Tony and Lynn, good friends of mine. Tony came to the hospital to anoint me with oil. And as he was stood there, the Lord dropped the scripture from Psalm 27, verse 13 into him, which says, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, I can't even remember if he gave it me while I was in the bed. If he did, I don't remember. But obviously, once I was out of hospital, he did give it to me. And I just thank God for his obedience, because that scripture during the coming months kept me going, because God had said, you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And there were times that I reminded God about that. You said, you said, you said. So I want to thank him for his obedience. Also, my friend Chris, that has come with me today, visited me relentlessly in a hospital that was over 20 miles away. She's got 6 children of her own, 11 grandchildren. She's got a busy life. But she was there 3, 4, 5 times a week for hours on end. And I honestly don't think I would be here if it wasn't for her. The operation that I had left me diabetic, and diabetic having to inject 3 times a day with 1 insulin and another insulin at night. Eventually, I was released from hospital to come home. Have you got that photo? Thank you. I love this photo because look what God has done. And that was good. I'd been out of hospital at least a week when that was taken. Trust me, Tony will tell you. I looked far worse than that. But God has revived me. God has healed me. As I came out of hospital, Chris and I had a plan that she was going to come and stay with me for a few days because I was coming home to an empty house. But that plan didn't work. Her husband had to go into hospital and have a knee operation. So I came home to an empty house. I was afraid of the cancer. I was afraid of the diabetes. I was pretty much afraid of life. I was scared. And so I had a choice. I could be pitiful or powerful. And so I decided to get with God and be powerful and to live by faith and not by fear. So to fix my eyes on Jesus, to get with him face to face and to immerse myself in the things of heaven and the things of God, to get to the heights, we've got to come through that valley. But we've got to remember, sometimes God will reach in and he'll pull us out. But 9 times out of 10, he wants us to go through it. But remember, he's holding our hand. We're not alone. He's with us. Everything that we go through is with us. We're not alone. But sometimes we've just got to go through that valley and not be just pulled out of it. A couple of weeks afterwards, I went for a prognosis. The type of cancer that I had was not something that you could just tell from blood tests. And to my shock horror, it had spread. It was in my lymph nodes, it was in my intestines, and things were looking even worse than I could imagine. I began to, the Lord reminded me of this little book, God's Creative Power for Healing. I had been given that book in 2007, a year after I'd become a Christian, by somebody, and it had been on my bookshelf. I'd not looked at it, but the Lord dropped it into my spirit. It's full of prayers that are based on all the healing scriptures. So I began to recite those over myself, out loud, declare them out loud, 3 times a day. After a couple of weeks, I realized it's not just the prayers I need to declare, it's the scripture. So I got all the scriptures, I typed out about 20 pages of scriptures and prayers, and I started declaring them over myself 3 times a day. God's medicine. I was told I could have chemo. I had a couple of sessions of chemo at full strength, and then my body started to reject it. I had 2 further ones that are far too spaced out at 50% strength, ended up back in hospital, and they said, this is going to kill you, we can't have any more chemo, basically no more treatment. Then Lynn, another pivotal moment, Lynn gave me a magazine from Kenneth Copeland with a story in about Dodie Osteen. Dodie Osteen is the mother of Joel Osteen, most of you will have heard of him, an American preacher. She had gone to the doctors and been told that she just was a bit unwell. She went to the doctors, had some tests. They said she'd got cancer that was so far gone, there was nothing that they could do, and they sent her home. She lived another 46, 47 years. She actually passed last year because what she did was exactly what I'd done. And in this story, it told how she'd declared those scriptures. But she did one thing I didn't, and that was this. She got the Bible, and she stood on it, physically stood on it. And so I thought, right, that's good enough for her, it's good enough for me. So I started to stand on the Bible, and I stood on it 3 times a day as I declared those scriptures and those prayers, and actually spoke, got a bit, feel a bit cheeky really, because I started to say to God, you know, you said that if we believe and if we don't doubt, that you will give it us. You said call into being the things that are not as though they are. I'm calling into being cancer free. And to just give God's word back to him. And I said, I'm standing on your word, Lord, as a physical expression of an inner belief. And that's what I carried on, and that's all I could do. There was nothing else I could do. There was no more treatment, and things had gone worse. I was due to go for scans in April, and about 2 or 3 weeks before I had to go for the scans, I changed the way I prayed. And instead of asking God to heal me, I started thanking God for healing me. And when you have healed me, when I get that medical confirmation that you have healed me, I'm going to shout it from the rooftops. I had no evidence of being healed at all. But I just was determined that I believed God's word. I believed what he said. And that's what I was going to do. Chris and I went to see the oncologist early May. And he sat down and he smiled at us. And he said, there is no cancer. Not you are in remission. There is no cancer. I've since... praise God. I've since been healed. I am not diabetic anymore. Type 1 diabetic. You can't be healed from type 1 diabetic. But I am not even pre-diabetic because I carried on praying for another 7 or 8 months and said, Lord, you took cancer away. What's diabetes to you? You can do it. And I'm not even diabetic. But I do just want to say this as a finish. I know that there are people in this room who've got people in their families who've got terminal illnesses, who've got cancer, people that you've lost. And I understand what that's like. My own sister died from cancer, and that's what led me to become a believer, because of how she was and how the way that she was. I couldn't understand how someone could be like she was and not be angry and not be saying, why me? She was a Christian and I wasn't. And that led me to come to know Jesus. We don't know. I have empathy. What I'm trying to say is I understand, and we've been praying and praying and praying, and why is it not working? And we don't have the answers because we're not God. Only God knows. But I do know this, that if we don't keep asking and we don't keep praying and we don't keep seeking and we don't keep believing, we have got no hope, because he is our hope. And so we've got to hang on. And the other thing is that obviously we do all have a time. We do have a time when we're going to be called home. But I personally believe that some people have been gone home sooner than perhaps they should have done. What I'm trying to say is, do we believe in the absolute power of the Word of God? So I hope that you've been encouraged today. I hope you've been blessed. I do have some books on my testimony. If you're interested, there's some on the table over there. You can get them on Amazon. They're £10, but they're £5 if you want one here today. Hope you've been blessed. Thank you. Okay, bless you.
Well, let's pray for you. Can we just pray for you? Amen. Father, we just thank you for Elaine this morning. We just thank you for the miracle-working power that she has known and seen and lived through and in. And we just thank you for her today. We just pray, Lord, for your blessing to be upon her, and Chris, Lord, as well. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you're alive. And we worship you, O God, amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.